if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. And you don't get too used to Betty Rock here because she is leaving.
Get ready
somewhere.
For abandonment.
I know. I feel like that way. I mentioned this earlier in the show. I was watching a documentary on Metallica, on the band. And it's weird troubles they had relating to each other. And so they got like a psychologist to help them basically do counseling to work through things. And one of the things, like James Hatfield, the lead singer, was like, he's like, yeah, I didn't know how to process Jason Newsted leaving, because like when I love something, I just you love it and you just hang on to it and strangle it, you know, and you're like, okay, I see where the problems are. But that's what I feel like with Betty. Like I feel abandoned.
Why? Hit
on it, Gavin, that she's leaving us, yep. Like maybe even in the middle of the Aftercast.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, so I feel like sad right now. I'm conflicted inside.
But it's going to be fun. I'm going to be traveling with I Am They. My roommate
for you.
Is... the drummer, yeah. And she asked me if I wanted to come, and so I said yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun. If you've never done a bus tour before, it is a lot of fun, but you will definitely see at the end of that, you're like, that was fun, but I wouldn't want that for my life. And I feel bad for like artists and stuff like that, like when mm-hmm. that is their entire life, it's fun for a weekend, and you're like, yeah, this is great, or even a small dose, but it definitely, mm-hmm. The road life gets old quick, and especially you're a homebody.
We're gonna find out.
Yeah, but you'll have fun. I'm glad you're getting to go. Did you see the latest on the search for Gabby Petito? Unfortunately,
it's sad.
I know. I cannot fathom this. Okay, so they released the actual cause of death, and it was strangulation. And so you're like, okay. They say that that's like the most common form inside of domestic violence. And so you're like, okay. You try to piece this stuff together. More and more is coming out about this guy, that he had a temper, and she had issues too, but obviously no one deserves to be murdered. So it's interesting, though, that like I could see something escalating and it getting bad and going south, but instead of separating like the police had them do that night, they just kept going on this trip and trying to stay together, and they probably shouldn't have been. But I can't fathom the fact that they can't find this guy. Like they find people so fast, you know? So he has to be getting help from somebody and being hidden. And his parents are being super protective of him, you know, which is really weird. And being, like, disrespectful to Gabby's family, because they're like, yeah, when he comes back, we're going to make sure that he faces, you know, his punishment for using her credit cards. Like, no, that's not why they're searching for him. And on Good Morning America today was great. They made the point. They're like, yeah, they're not doing a, like, missing person thing with him. They're not like, oh, please help us find our son. They are purposely hoping that he's not found.
They called it a manhunt.
Yeah, too. That's what it is, you know. But they cannot find this guy, and it's just crazy to me that this guy has been able to elude all the resources that we have and is still at large.
They call him an amateur survivalist, but we're like 3 weeks into his escape from his situation.
It'll be interesting to see how long he can keep this up. I hope not for long. I hope he didn't get out of the country. Because
then it's done.
I've thought about running before. Like, there was a TV show.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, if I ever was going to have to go to prison, I'm like, I think I'd make a run for it.
I tuned out for a minute, but
yes.
Can you grab that for me? Here's the show. Thank you, Gavin.
Yeah, I would make a run for it. I'd be so scared of prison that I would make a run for it. But the thing about this
it's
is...
Mentors you got to worry about. The mentor.
Prison Mike
here.
So they used to have a television show, and it was really great. It was a good contest show, a reality show, where you tried to run from the police. And so they had like six people or whatever, and they all tried to escape. And the police are then trying to track them down, and private investigators and stuff. And the amount of cameras we have that find people, the digital footprint you leave when you use a credit card one time, you know, it's so amazing how quickly they can hone in on where you are. And so the fact that this guy has been able to stay completely off the grid for so long is pretty amazing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I couldn't do it. No.
No, you'd be like I need a burrito. Taco Bell would be your downfall.
And you know, I as a Gen Zer don't ever use cash, so
right.
I don't have that just on the side in case I do need to run from something.
I thought about it. I thought, okay, if I ever was to run, like how would I do it? And I'm like, okay, the first thing I would have to do is go cash out all of my money because you don't want to be on the grid with any Bye Rock.
Bye.
Yeah, I already turned her mic off. She's gone.
Or
she did. She's been gone for
I think maybe you turned
minutes.
It off.
Wow, maybe I did.
Yeah, and now she has a bunch of stuff. And
you have to open the door.
Do you want me
to come
get
the door?
Yeah,
come
now
get
you
the
can't
door.
Get the door. I wouldn't get it for her. Make her do it. She's a strong, independent woman.
Kevin, please. Thank you. Okay, y'all have fun with me.
Bye, Rock. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye. Have fun. That's so funny.
Kick her on the way out.
Yeah. But like the first thing you'd have to do is cash out your money. So you've got a stash of money and you'd have to have some sort of transportation. And the one thing that this show taught me was not going to people that you know.
Yeah. Like you have to run in like you have to zag when you think they think you're going to zig.
The people that did the best at this game were the people that didn't rely on help from people that knew them because they couldn't keep their story straight or they would give accidental information to the people that were chasing them. It was relying on the kindness of strangers and things like that. People that were completely unconnected to you was how people did the best. But this guy's face is on everything too.
I know.
Like,
he's like the head story on like Good Morning America once in a while for like the last month now. And I mean, again, they called him an amateur survivalist. So I wonder how much of it he's doing off the grid per se, and then how much is he, you know, maneuvering through towns trying to to have a bed to actually sleep on? Because they were doing the whole cross road trip, so I'm sure he has that, like, you know, sleeping on the dirt experience.
But you got to go and you got to buy some supplies for that, and you got to eat, and so you're either going to have to really be in survival mode. But he didn't seem like he had enough stuff, or unless somebody dropped him a go bag kind of thing.
Sure.
Again, his parents. Oh. I don't trust his parents as far as I can throw them. And I mean, there's some level that you understand you want to protect your child, but if your child murdered somebody else's child, I think there's a higher calling for you to do the right thing. And his family does not seem like they have any interest, except his sister. His sister
wants him back.
Yeah, she
to
broke
face his
ties.
Charges.
Yeah, she broke ties. Which then you're wondering, like, well, how's Thanksgiving going to be? You know, for them.
Tough.
Yeah, are they going to be like, well, thanks, Robin, or whatever her name was. Like, that wasn't really cool of you.
It's probably also, you know, having him back, and again, maybe he's back, and then he goes to prison. But in a way, that does feel safer than him constantly on the run and just making his situation worse and worse.
You mean if you're his parents?
Yeah, if, like what you want for him. Like, what do you, like, if your parents, what do you want from him? Because they're not coming out and saying a whole lot.
Right. Yeah. Boy, that is a tough one. That is a tough one. And, I mean, you don't want him to be in a, you know, because like you're saying, safer, like in a police standoff, because that could go south for him too. So I don't know. Anyway, this was kind of interesting. The star of the iconic star of the TV show Star Trek, one Mr. William Shatner,
nice.
Who played Captain James T. Kirk for so many years, is actually getting to go to space. Like, that's kind of cool. At 90 years old.
He's 90?
90. He looks good for 90,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he looks solid. I feel like my grandpa's 75 and looks older than
him. Do you know what the T in James T. Kirk stands for?
Thaddeus?
Close, Tiberius.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I out-nerded you. Okay.
I'm pretty good about Trek. This.
Yeah. So
90. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Shatner's going to go up in Bezos' Blue Origins, and they'll be in space for like 11 minutes. And, you know, Shatner said, I've heard of space for such a long time and been involved with it. Now I'm taking an opportunity to see it myself. What a miracle. Because that would be cool. Like, you pretended you were in space for all those years in your career. To literally lay your eyes on the Earth from that vantage point and just the beauty and the vastness of it would be cool.
It is cool. It is interesting because I feel like the last Origin space launch was, what, like a month or
so ago?
Like, I feel like now we're just getting to that point where we're going to have a new celebrity going to space for the first time every month or so. And especially because, you know, what's his face? Elon Musk is also sending people to space. Like, it's going to get less and less, like, unique.
Well, Shatner, his flight is about space tourism, you know, more so than science. They are putting a couple other scientists on there, but his is solely about the space tourism part of it. And, you know, they're hoping that they get this to where it becomes more cost effective for the average Joe. But I don't see that happening for a long time.
But what would you prefer? Would you prefer doing the 11-minute thing? Or what Elon Musk did, where he sent people to space for like 3 days.
Oh, the 3 day one. Yeah. You to live there and experience it for more than just the, because you can get that sense of weightlessness, and you ride the Vomit Comet plane, and they do that big arc, and it makes you weightless for 30 seconds or whatever. But the 11 minutes, unless it's like a lot cheaper. Like, I'm so cheap when it comes to things like that. Like, I'd much rather take the cheaper experience. Like, if you could get the 11 minute one for like $100,000 and the 3 day one is $5 million, I think I'd take the $100,000.
Six figures versus seven figures.
Yeah. And a big gap in that. So I don't know. But I mean, that's pretty amazing. We're going that way. We're headed towards autonomous cars eventually. When they stop crashing, it's going to be a great day.
Come on, Tesla.
Yeah, I know. All right. So, Gavin, do you have any birthdays now that Betty is gone?
Yeah, she instructed me to get the link open because she was leaving. I didn't know she was leaving mid-cast. So Barb would like to say happy birthday to herself. She's been listening since the Total Access days.
Ooh, that is a long time. That is pert near 14 years there, Barb. Thank you. That's awesome. You have a high tolerance for pain.
Can you explain to me, because I'm just like, I know that there was Total Access. How long was Total Access before it transitioned to just The Wally Show?
Okay, so I inherited Total Access. It was a show.
You did? Okay.
It was a show that two other people hosted before me, but it was the premier show on Way FM's network, and other stations carried it and stuff like that, not just the ones we own. And so they hired me from mainstream radio to come in, and the guy that hosted it, JR, was leaving, so they're like, okay, we want you to host this. So it was almost all interviews, basically. It was all artist-driven.
Yes.
Everything was artist-focused. And so we did so much of that stuff. That's how I got to know everybody and stuff. And so it was good. It was a good time. But what was interesting was I just knew how to do my regular radio show, too. And what happened was we started seeing the ratings, and the ratings for all the stuff that we were doing, the life stuff and just the normal things and fun radio stuff, was outperforming the artist stuff. Like, it was doing better.
Gotcha.
And so what they decided was, they're like, okay, let's transition this out of Total Access and make it The Wally Show. And so they moved me and Zach and Betty, because they've been with me this whole time, they moved us to afternoons, and we did The Wally Show in afternoons because Brant was on in the mornings. And then, and this is a typical thing in radio, like, so just pull back the curtain. Basically, you want to get to the morning show. Everyone's always trying to get to the morning show. That's the predominant spot that you want. And so I was no different. I wanted the morning show. And so Brant left. And so when Brant left, it opened up that shot, and I was asked to do it and took it gladly. And then I've been doing that ever since. But I can't remember the times. Like, people ask me about my career, I have to look at my resume.
Sure.
I'm so bad with dates and timelines.
But you've been here for so long. Like, doing this show for, you know, more than 10 years.
I want to say that I did Total Access in its incarnation for maybe 3 years at night, maybe. And then the rest, the other 11 years, has been either afternoons or mornings. Now more mornings than anything else.
Are there aspects of the subsequent parts or, you know, evolutions of the show that you do miss? Compared to how we do things now?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are sometimes. There's things I really love about now and the place that everything is in, but then there's frustrations too, because radio has always been cathartic for me, and it's always been a chance for me to get things off my chest. That's what's so great about it. But it's gotten worse in mainstream radio and regular radio. Everyone's getting so offended and uptight about everything that that's why I love that we have the aftercast. But I miss some of the angst and some of the shenanigans and some of the just calling stuff out.
Being a safe space for that stuff to be like, it's radio.
Yeah. And I mean, I called things out on the air all the time, you know, and I love that part of the job. It is exhausting, though. So you're always angry. You're always fighting somebody. So that part of it was exhausting. But there are times when I miss that. There are times I feel like, oh, man, are you different? But then sometimes change and being different is a better version of you as well. And so there's a lot of things that I don't. Like, there's a lot of things that happen. I'm glad they happen. I'm glad they're done.
Yeah.
And just keep doing this and move forward in this. And then eventually, you know, the next step of my thing will be to lay this thing down and stop. I think that'll be my hardest part of my career, because this has been my identity for so long.
Sure.
And I was out of work one time and I went to a radio show that was doing a remote because I loved radio, you know, and I heard that they were doing, basically, they took a guy, and I used to be Zippy the Happy Prize guy, okay? So that's how I started my career.
So good.
I know, it's so bad. So they took a guy at this radio station in the Carolinas, in South Carolina, and they called him Zippy the whatever, and they had him doing an event. And I went to this guy's event because they basically stole my whole shtick, and I went to see what they did. And so I show up there. And he's not doing it well. And I just took over. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have fun. And I literally took over this guy's event. And I'm like, this is how you do this, just so you know. And then I found out later, the PD was like, yeah, I was in Orlando on vacation. I saw you doing what you do. And I stole the idea and brought it here. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. But it was just so ingrained in me that I lived every bit of this. Radio has been my entire life, you know. And so I struggled through, even now, getting older and wanting more free time and wanting more personal time and not living every second of this. I mean, there's times when I'm at home, if I'm not working, I feel guilty, you know? And so I work at home a lot. And it's one of those things that's got to balance out, and I've got to find that place where I'm okay with not killing myself and having a better quality of life outside of work. Because that's what's going to set me up for when I finally do stop. Because otherwise, I'll lose my mind. If I just go cold turkey and all of a sudden I'm not Wally from the radio anymore, I could see myself imploding. You know? So if I'm smart and I make a transition over the course of this next contract that I'm in, then I can make a healthy decision to either keep going at the end of it or call it and be done and do something else.
Yeah, and you know. Hopefully at the end of it, yeah, because I feel like when you do walk away, you do want to walk away feeling like you, like it's right for you too.
Yeah, and I don't want to be pushed out. That's a big thing. And I don't want to ever be irrelevant where you stayed too long. Like, sure. I don't want to be that guy. Yeah, I don't want to be that 65-year-old guy that's still trying to be the wacky morning guy. Yeah. You know, like, I have no desire to do that.
And I feel like the way that you are now is that you are, like, you have like the segment of you that is wacky, but you're also like a good encourager and good at approaching like the serious topics so that people aren't turning on and being like, ooh. Like, I feel like people could turn this show on and not necessarily know how old you are.
So. That's what I like. That's probably one of the nicest things you could say to me. Thank you. I do get that a lot. Like, people were shocked that I'm 53.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably because I'm childish or I whine about stuff.
We just have too much fun for us to be old at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not old, but
I don't. And the thing is, dude, I don't feel old. Like, I look at other people and I'll be out and about and I'll meet some dude and I'll be like, man, that guy is old. He's got kids and they're like only 16, but boy, he's got to be like my age. And they're like 40. I'm like, how is he younger than me, but seems so much older or maybe more responsible? I don't know. Has a bigger job, I guess. Yeah.
I have like a different way of like the way I view you versus the way I view my dad because right. my dad's 51, so you guys are
I'm older than your dad. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about yeah. that.
But I view him as like my dad, whereas, right. and I don't, you know, I have respect for you, right. so I don't say like, oh, he's just a friend or something
yeah.
like that.
But I'll
like,
be there for you, son.
Yeah, you're the first like professional mentor right. that I've ever had, and so I don't necessarily sit back and be like, oh man, this is like an older guy, but you talk faster and you. I think move faster yeah. and speak louder than my dad does. And so therefore
speak louder, that's
like,
funny.
I think his age, not that he's old and right. he listens, so you're not old dad, but like you I think moves a lot faster than he does, but he is an internal processor.
Right. Yeah. My whole career has been, I mean, everything we do in radio is about speed, you know, you got to get yep. it done, get it done, get to the out, go, go, go. That's like why I was yelling at the TV the other day. I think we talked about this. I was yelling at the TV because they weren't doing something fast enough. And everyone came in like, what's Wally yelling about? He must be really mad. I'm like, I'm yelling at the TV. No one in my life understands that. For the record, you didn't get it. Betty Rock didn't get it. I went home to my wife and daughter and they went, I'm telling them the story. And I'm like, my wife literally goes, do you hear yourself? And my daughter's like, I think you need to talk to someone.
No.
I'm like, it made perfect sense to me.
I will say that that's something that's impacted me more than I ever thought it was. We were watching a YouTube video last night. It was 18 minutes long.
Yeah,
and
no.
at the end of it, I told Haley, because I think there are good 20-minute videos out there. Some people do it right.
But they don't feel like it.
No. And I got to the end of that 18-minute video, and I told Haley, I was like, that could have been 5 minutes, and
right.
we would have been vastly more entertained. I wouldn't yeah. have pitched out after yeah. the first two segments of the video. So I get that part of it now more than ever. I know how to toss a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, throw the pumpkin.
Throw the pumpkin.
That's the thing, man. Like, you got to get to the content. I mean, if TikTok has taught us nothing.
Oh, my goodness. TikTok is perfect
like
for radio people.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, like, I watch a TikTok video that if it doesn't have something starting that grabs my attention mm-hmm. in the first 6 seconds, I'm out, you know? And so, like, yeah, it's built for us.
Yep.
And I love that medium. But the thing about doing great radio or whatever is you can do longer breaks, but they just can't feel like it. It's got to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's got to be compelling. It has to have a beginning, middle, and end. It has to go somewhere, you know? And I think that's where people on podcasts get it wrong. A lot of times mm-hmm. people on podcasts go, well, let's just wing this. And
it doesn't work.
You take people who, you could take someone that's interesting, but they don't know the framework and how to tell a story, and it's not interesting. But you could take someone who is like not skilled at something and teach them a couple little things, and they can, as long as they can tell a story, it can be something that is really enjoyable to listen to. And you just teach them a couple little things that translate from radio to podcasting, and I think you'd have a lot more successful podcasts. There are hundreds of thousands of podcasts, and there are four that are successful.
There's
you know,
many.
Yeah. There's a handful that are making money and that are worth listening to.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I don't even include this one in that because I ain't making money off this.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do like my own podcast, which feels like I hear myself yeah. say that, and I critique that because I'm like, don't be one of the 100 sure. people, and then I think, oh, here's an idea for a show. Are you really a specialist? Do you really understand this thing?
Right.
Or are you just going to mumble? Probably going to mumble. Okay, I like what I do as a job. I don't need to necessarily push
and if
my...
If you're not willing yeah. to put the work into it, it's going to be mumbling.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, podcasts, like, they always want all of us to do podcasts, do this, do that. You know, it's like, but if you don't put the effort into
yeah.
it, it's not going to be any good. Again, I keep coming back to this Metallica thing I watched.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't even finished it, but so far I've really enjoyed the documentary. And full disclosure, there's language and bad stuff in it because it's Metallica. But I'm always fascinated. What drew me into it was... I'm fascinated by group dynamics and why bands have trouble and why they don't. And so them being proactive in fixing and addressing their issues with a therapist was fascinating to me. But so you had Jason Newsted, who joined the band. He'd been in the band for 13 years. The guy's just a vicious bass player. And so he was doing this side project, but James Hatfield, who's the singer and kind of creative in Metallica, he keeps a really tight rein on all the creativity. So it was basically him and Lars, the drummer, doing everything, and everyone else, they just kind of told him what to play. And they're all great musicians. So Newsted wanted to be creative. It was like just inside of him. He wanted to create something more that fulfilled him. But Hatfield couldn't stand that because he was like, Metallica needs to be enough for you. Like, if Metallica's not enough for you and you have to get this other thing, then I don't want you here. Mm-hmm. And so they ended really badly. And so he went out and did his own thing. And so, yeah. So, like, I even have to fight that in myself. Like, you go, because I'm kind of wired like that guy. You know, like, oh, I want to do a podcast. I'm like, why? Why isn't this enough? Why aren't we enough for you, Gavin? Mm-hmm. Look at you. And so, and look how that ended for James Newsted.
Yeah.
Not a threat, but no. But, like, I get driven people who this consumes them. Metallica consumes James Hatfield. My radio career has consumed me, you know, and I'm trying to get better about that. But yeah, I mean, if you ever wanted to do a podcast, I would support that.
Sure. But I do think that, like, what you said there is, like, at the end of the day, I do kind of, like, come back to, not necessarily, like, in essence, like, this is enough for
right.
me, in the sense that I really love what
right.
I do, what we do on this show. And it's not this. It's not, doing a podcast is not a hole that I need to fill. Like,
right.
this, doing this job and doing this every single day fills that need to do something creative when, you know, I came from spending a year just being at a shoe store
right.
all day. That's when you're thinking, like, man, I need to use my brain for something.
Doing a podcast is something that it's like starting your own business. You think, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to have all this free time. And then you find out, wow, this is a lot of work. And
yeah.
I don't have free time. I've tried to create a space for you, for Betty, for Becca when she was here, Zach when he was here, Katie, everybody. I've tried to create a space where we all share the duties and we each have our job responsibilities so that we can enjoy life. And mm-hmm. it's not crazy consuming, so that if we split out the work, everybody cannot get burnt out, because it's too hard to retrain people in chemistry with people and stuff. So when you find yeah. those great people, you want to keep them happy. And that this is enough. Because a lot of times you start something on the side and it takes away and you end up not doing either well, you know?
Yeah.
And so that, and I think that was James Hatfield's thing, is you're not going to do either great. And I don't want to have you hurt the Metallica product kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We got some psychology. Every time Betty leaves, we start talking about psychology.
I think so. And she's the one with the major.
And she's the one that needs it the most. But yeah. anyway, don't tell
oh,
her
I said that.
Okay, she does. But
she'll
don't
get
tell
email.
Her. I know. All right, so that's going to, I think, have to do it for our aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.